ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Luke Lewis, he's John Gibbs. I'm Andrew Moore here on ABC Sport on this Good Friday. Tell you what, it's a good Friday for Manly fans. A tumultuous week. Anthony, they get beat at home by the Roosters and Daly Cherry Evans. They sack coach Anthony Seibold. They appoint a guy who just finished playing a blink of an eye ago in Kieran Foran as the interim. And they go to a very tough assignment, playing the Dolphins at Dolphin Stadium. And they led 52-0 and won 52-18. Kieran Foran should retire as coach. I don't think he will. He's on the line. G'day, Kieran. How are you going?
G'day, guys. Going well.
What's everyone talking about, mate? It's an easy gig.
I don't know about that. We performed well last night, which was important for the club. So I was glad the boys were able to get their game on last night.
It was a stunning first half, wasn't it, Kieran? You've been assistant coach there and you've been there for months now. But to see them burst out of the blocks the way they did must have been very pleasing.
Yeah, it was very pleasing, mate. Look, I said last night I thought a performance like that wasn't too far away. I thought we were good against the Roosters and Thatchers the week before, but fell away badly in the second half. But yeah, last night was really impressive for 67 odd minutes. So I thought we controlled possession really well, controlled the footy, and we've got some great attacking threats there when we get that much ball.
Hey, Foz, it's Louis. Congratulations, mate, obviously getting the coaching role and obviously the win last night. That was a pretty amazing performance. But what about yourself going into last week? First time as a head coach, how did you get the week sorted? Was there any parts that just threw a spinner in the works where you thought, I did not think of this, I did not think of that? Any of that happen?
Oh, yeah, it was crazy, mate. Yeah, like obviously how it all sort of transpired, and then the fact we had a short turnaround, didn't have a lot of time to, I guess, get the boys back on the pitch and sort of get them up and about. But, mate, they did a really good job. Like, we obviously addressed what had gone on over the course of the weekend, and then acknowledged that we did have a short turnaround and we had to just get to work. And, mate, I just took each day as it came, to be honest with you, Lou. Like, it's, mate, I've got plenty of experienced staff there around me, guys that can carry an extra load. And, mate, we all chipped in and we got the week done, which was great.
What was the message from you to the boys during the week? I know, it probably would have been nice and simple, let's just go out and play Manly's way. Like, how do you come up with that message? How do you get all the boys on board? Was it weird coaching players that you'd played against last year? Like, talk me through, the experience for you mentally.
Yeah, no, they were great, mate. Like, we didn't change a heck of a lot, as I touched on, with the short turnaround. There wasn't a great deal that we really wanted to adjust. It was more or less just getting the boys feeling good, mate, and just getting them, making sure that they were refreshed enough to go into Thursday night's game and sort of put their best foot forward. And my messaging was pretty clear. It was all around effort. It was all around desire and putting pride back into the jersey. And, mate, they certainly did that in spades last night.
Foz, congratulations, mate. It was an enormous effort last night. I want to ask you about the philosophy of Kieran Foran. You've had lots of coaches, albeit you've mainly had Des for quite a few of those clubs you're at, international level, club level. What's your actual philosophy that you mightn't have put into place yesterday, but just ongoing?
Yeah, mate, good question. I guess I'm pretty early on in my coaching career, but if there's one thing I was big on as a player, it was getting your habits right and getting your game to the standard in which it needs to be, and not focusing too much on the opposition. So my messaging to the boys through the week was around making sure that our game was as sharp as it could be, you as an individual and then collectively, and making sure that you don't sort of go away from the habits that we know work and that we've been working on. So, yeah, I guess I try and hold them to a high standard around their habits. And, a game like last night, up against a pretty ill-disciplined Dolphins team, we obviously were able to, like I said, get a fair crack at possession with the footy, and it certainly helped us. But Yeah, mate. It's not too complicated. My philosophy around footy, it's around working hard for one another and enjoying your footy.
And you've been around long enough to know that there's players that have let coaches down. I mean, their performance on the field is not necessarily correlating what they were sent out to do on the field. So to that end, I think a lot of your players would have had to have had a look in the mirror from how they started this year.
Yeah, they certainly did. It had been a disappointing start. There's no denying that. Three home games at Bookie, three losses. Look, like I said, it's not as though they were really like all stinker of performances, but it certainly wasn't to the quality in which we wanted to perform. So again, I challenge them this week to go away and have a think about what sort of standard they do want to hold one another to, and particularly themselves when they pull on that jersey. And we got a response last night, which was really pleasing.
Foz, you know that there's a lot of talk in the Manly area about Joey Walsh, and when things weren't going well, you know, do we send him into bat or what's going to happen? I read with interest that you don't want that responsibility on his shoulders for him to be, I suppose, hurt early in his career. It's a real juggling act, isn't it?
Oh, it is for sure. He's such a talented young guy coming through our club, and he's going to be, you know, a huge future star of our club. But it's just important that we don't rush him in too early. There's obviously a lot of noise around him playing games for us, and he certainly will throughout this season. There's no denying that we're going to need him at certain times and in particular in games. But we want to continue to develop Joey as well, and he's aware of that. He knows that that's the plan with him, and he's really comfortable with that. And, mate, he's been playing great footy for us in New South Wales Cup, and sooner or later he'll get his chance in there.
Our special guest here on NRL Friday on ABC Sport, Kieran Foran, making a winning start to his coaching career, 52-18 over the Dolphins last night. And Kieran, I can't help but think about your private life. You've just finished a playing career in the NRL, and you're playing for New Zealand as recently as the Pacific Championships last year. Get a gig with Manly as an assistant coach. You're doing some work at Fox Sports as a commentator and impressing people there with your work. And now the constant, almost 24-hour-a-day gig as a coach. Is that where the recency of playing might help because of the routine and the fact that, you know, 15-minute by 15-minute is mapped out for players, that you now have to be doing that? Does that help?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, since I hung the boots up, I've wanted to maintain a pretty busy schedule and make sure that I had a decent pathway of where I wanted to go. And I think now, you know, being, I guess, put in this position, it doesn't change too much for me. You know, I've got a high work ethic and, you know, the fact that it will consume me sort of 7 days a week, 24 hours throughout that. I guess I'm pretty accustomed to that way of life anyway. So, yeah, look, there's going to be challenges along the way, no doubt, for sure. But as I said, a number of ways to sort of deal with them and sort of keep pushing through.
As a player, you're allowed to celebrate wins. They should be celebrated through the course of the year, no matter whether it's a night out or just, you know, enjoying life for 24 hours before you prep for the next week. What about now as a coach? How long after full-time last night did you start thinking about the Dragons in Wollongong next week?
Pretty, yeah, not. I reckon I had a couple of hours to just enjoy that performance, but by the time my eyes opened this morning, I was thinking about how we were going to back that performance up against the Dragons next week. So, yeah, it's hugely important for us to back that performance up. Obviously, it was a great performance. We all know that, but it's one game. We're still, you know, we still started the season with three losses and one win. So we're certainly not jumping with joy at the moment. We've got to build off that performance, and there's things that we can continue to get better on and make sure we do better. So that'll be the challenge for us next week. The Dragons, you know, they'll be pretty desperate to get a win, and we're going to have to make sure we perform like we did last night.
Now, Kieran, I'm very interested in a couple of conversations that you're going to probably have to have over the next, 20 weeks that we've got left. How do you think you're going to handle talking to the boys about, you know, coming in, coming out, who's going to be sat out, and all that sort of stuff? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, it's a question I've been asked a few times this week, Lou. I think I'm a pretty honest and sort of straight-up guy, mate, and all the guys that either played a lot or have been coached by me now know that. I just sort of say it how it is, and that's part of the gig now, isn't it? Is having those, you know, tough conversations, but also having good conversations where you get to reward folks with their NRL debut and getting a start. So, I suppose, you know, it's not nice when you've got to have those tough conversations and let blokes know that they've either missed out or you know, they're not playing well, but it's just part of the job. You just got to be able to have them. I think players respect transparency. They'd rather you be up front, even if it is tough news to take at the time. So just not shy away from it. Just keep being honest and up front.
Matthew Elliott, our colleague who's coached three NRL clubs over the years, he's always said the one thing he misses about coaching is it's very rare in any other walk of life to be surrounded by 30 young people who are striving every single day to get better. And it's something you've experienced as a player. Is that something you're looking to see from this different view as a coach?
Oh, certainly, yeah. It doesn't feel like a job. Like when you walk in there and you get to, I guess, teach footy and coach footy and you're sitting in a room with, as you said, 30 guys that want to be the absolute best footballers that they can become, and I remember sitting in their position. So, yeah, it's a real privilege to be in a position where you get to pass on your knowledge and your experience to this next generation of rugby league players. And really crucial that you I guess make it enjoyable for them, but you also give them the best possible stepping stone for them to be able to be the best players that they could be and enjoy some success. So, yeah, it's a really cool challenge, but a cool thing to be able to do each and every day.
Kieran, it's happened so quickly, but would you like the job full-time? I mean, a different kettle of fish being an interim to a full-time coach. So are you officially in the running for the job? If things go okay, would you be interested in taking it on full-time?
I'm just focusing on getting results at the moment. Gibbsy, my sole focus is on trying to turn the season around for the club and you know, along with the boys, do everything we can to make Manly fans, you know, proud each and every week. So that's my focus at the moment. I'm not sort of thinking or focusing on anything long term or externally. It's just about how do we, you know, continue to get the wins and put ourselves in a position to play finals footy this year.
How are you going to handle all this stuff, Kieran? Because, you know, you've always been extremely well-spoken in a good interview, but as a player over a long career, you can go through periods where you can just keep to yourself. You don't want to do any of this stuff. You don't have that option really as a coach, especially if a couple of L's start appearing against Manly over the ensuing weeks. How do you expect to cope with that side of things? Bearing in mind, normally you're very good, happy to talk about rugby league, but when some of the questions are going to get a bit tough.
Yeah, it's just part of the job, isn't it? Like that's part of stepping into a head coaching gig, is that you've got to front up and you've got to obviously ride the, you know, the highs and the lows, and it's not all going to be smooth sailing. Yes, we had a wonderful victory last night, and it was a great start to my interim coaching journey and our first win of the season. But I'm a realist, you know. I know it's not going to continue to be rainbows and butterflies. You're going to have some really difficult, you know, nights as a coach and some difficult performances. And yeah, I think for me, mate, it's just about staying true to my philosophies and how I coach. And if you do that, then you sort of bank on the fact that you know, hopefully are getting, you know, more ups than downs.
Remember, we asked Christian Wolf pretty much that same thing when he was given the job as Dolphins coach. How are you going to be? You know, he said, why don't you try and ring me after a loss and we'll find out.
So, yeah, good point.
You're one out of one, mate. Great job, and all Manly supporters will be so relieved, apart from excited, to see what happened last night at Dolphin Stadium. Well done, mate. We'll be in touch through the year. Good luck with it all.
Thanks, guys. Nice to chat.
Kieran Foran, interim coach of Manly Warringah.
Do you love rugby league? NRL Friday on ABC Sport.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Well, tonight, Good Friday, good time to start a new segment. We're calling this On Debut. It's actually inspired by the man to my right here, Luke Lewis, who insists you can have two debuts. Well, our first guest on Debut had many more than that, Matthew Elliott, as a player, a coach, and as a radio commentator. So let's find about them all. Matthew Elliott, happy Easter.
Oh, Andrew, I'm not nervous at all, but I'm glad that I'm not there with you because you've thrown Easter eggs at me, but I'm a little bit nervous about this one, but let's go.
Well, now I am too, because clearly your remembering of history is a little bit skew-iff, shall we say.
Yes, yes, definitely. But you know what? I'll make it up. It's not like me to forget things.
No, true. And I know the answers to a lot of these questions, so I'll be on you. You did play 61 first-grade games for St George between 1989 and 1992, mostly with a mullet. But for a boy from Thursday Island, a dream come true, I'm sure, playing for the Dragons.
Yeah, it was an unexpected thing, Andrew. I'd been away in France for a couple of years and, like, just quite coincidentally, a guy called George Morocco, who's good friends with Perry Haddock, rang me up and said, are you playing footy this year? And this will surprise you. I said, no, I'm going to play cricket. But George
did you used to
me
play cricket?
Once. I played it once.
Okay.
So I ended up going to the Dragons. And, yeah, what a great ride that started.
Because you had been at East as a lower grade player before you headed over to France, and that's where you learnt to speak fluent French, as we've heard often in the past. But tell us about being picked to play first grade for St George for your actual debut. Who told you? How'd you find out?
Well, I wasn't actually picked. It was Craig Young was our coach, and I was on the bench. I'll never forget the day. I'm pretty sure it was at Cogra, and we were playing West. Maybe about round 6, 7 or something. And I was sitting on the bench and Trevor Bailey, who was the hooker, and I'd been practicing and played my whole time in the back row, got busted in about the first 5 minutes. And so I got the call to come onto the field and play hooker for the next 65.
There you go. Yes, you're remembering almost correctly. It was round 8. Against the Maggies, who beat you 18-16, and among the try scorers for West, Shane Flanagan. There you go.
Are you sure they beat us? I think we beat them 18-16, Andrew.
They scored 3-2.
They probably won then.
They beat you. Your memory was going so well. Do you remember what jersey number you were in?
I wasn't 41 like I normally used to wear. I think it was 17 or something.
It was. See, you're on fire. The first? So you played, and that was the day where if you played lower grade, you sat on the bench in first grade. Had that happened before? You're on the bench but never got on?
It had happened a few times, but I didn't play. I hadn't played. I was like a fresh reserve that day. I'll never forget that because that was kind of a new thing. And I actually got the game ball, Andrew.
Did you?
From the team, yes. Yeah. So I was pretty stoked. And I don't know if I've ever told you this. Craig Young called me in the following Tuesday to have a chat to me into his office that was under the old Cogra stand. Oh, you would love commentating out of the old Cogra stand. It was so good. Nearly as good as the one now. He said two words to me that, made my day.
You dropped?
No, reserve grade.
Okay, so, same thing. Nice.
So, if anyone saw me driving home that day and thought I was crying, it was because a bug flew in my eyes. I didn't cry on the way home in the car, Andrew, all right? I didn't cry.
because of knee injuries, not just Craig Young's attitude, you ended up coaching. You followed Brian Smith over to the UK, where he was head coach of Bradford, and you took over in 1997. You were to have immediate success. You won the Super League title that year. You later won Challenge Cup titles, all that sort of thing. But the first game as coach, head coach for a team like Bradford, what are your memories of that day?
I do remember it. It was at Oldsall Stadium. I hope I'm remembering the right game. And it was against Warrington, who was coached by John Dorahy, who I had a massive amount of respect for. And we walloped them. I know we won because we won 20 games straight that year. So it was, I can't remember the score, though. It was like a big score.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have that in front of me. So I'm prepared to let you off the hook here. Although, Matthew Elliott, I can tell you won 58-20 at Oddsall. Oh. You're right. Huge.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I knew it was a big score. I almost felt like saying sorry to him, but I was, yeah.
Cool. How did you come to be Canberra's head coach in 2002, where you reached full final series in 5 years?
Yeah, they reached out to me. I'd actually had been talking to the New Zealand Warriors prior to that. They came to me and came over and saw me. And, yeah, so I said yes to that. It's quite an interesting story. So 2001, I thought I'd been employed, and I think I was the only one that was told this, as co-coach, not assistant coach to Mal. And Mal was part of the interview process in the UK as well. So that was a really good start to a head coaching journey in the NRL, that's for sure.
Do you remember your NRL Canberra debut?
Oh, well, which one? The 2001 one or the 2002?
No, 2002, where you were actually head coach. Everyone had that memo.
Yes, I do. I don't remember the score, but it started my my resistance to Craig Bellamy being such a good coach. I remember that. It was correct. In Melbourne at their, whatever that stadium used to be called. And
Olympic Park.
The score was close.
16-12.
Oh, okay, all right. 16-12.
It was 14-12 at halftime. That's where you gave your first halftime address. And your first win as a head coach was to come in round three over the West Tigers here at Stadium Australia. You then went on to replace John Lang as Penrith coach in 2007. What do you remember most about your first game at the Panthers?
I know who it was against. It was against Cronulla. That'll do.
Right. And was it a vastly different kind of playing group than what you'd become used to at Canberra?
Oh, obviously, I had five great years at Canberra there. I was really close to the playing group. And I sort of got a playing group that had come out of a grand final win not that long ago, but I sort of hadn't evolved that much. And, you know, what I remember, there was a great group of guys there, just needed a bit of different support. So it was, I remember the game, but I know we got done to nil, but I can't remember the score, to be honest with you. But it was a duck.
Okay.
Something to a duck.
Do we call it an ill-fated shift to the Warriors over in Auckland in 2012, you're appointed, for the 2013 and 14 seasons? How different was that experience?
You know, I don't really reveal this too much, but I was pretty ill and no one knew I was. I had an autoimmune disease that had flared up, and I'd had a couple of personal things. So, I might have left the Warriors being a touch angry, because I think I left in round five and we were 2-3. So a little bit different to Anthony Seibold, but I reflect back and I can see why they made that decision, to be honest with you. So, but I'm just trying to think who we played in my first game. I think it was against Parramatta at Parramatta Stadium, and I think they smashed us again. I think it was quite a convincing... We went on a run that year of 7 games towards the end, but Parramatta, it might have been 40-0. Am I wrong?
Damn, that's a tough start. I don't know. I'm having trouble with my computer now. All right. Well, most importantly of all, you joined me here at ABC Sport in 2015. What are your memories of the first game you called, because we did it together?
It was in Brisbane, if my memory is correct.
It was?
We flew to Brisbane. I was so nervous, Andrew. Out of all those things that we've spoken about, playing NRL for the first time, coaching, you know, head coaching for the first time, I was really nervous.
Really?
Yeah, I was. I was excited and really nervous. Also, you know, forever grateful for it. But, well, I guess I'm not scared of talking, but just making sure you made sense. And I remember the great Ray Warren, probably about 6 or 8 weeks into what we were doing, Andrew, coming up and saying to me, oh, I listen to you guys on the radio, which absolutely blew me away. But he did give me some great advice about, you know, not being so analytical. And he said, you're not talking to coaches and players. You're talking to, you know, to Pete from Mount Druitt. I'll never forget his words. And so, yeah, that was super helpful. But that day was, you know, a start of a great journey. And, yeah, I, as I say, nervous, the most nervous I've ever been.
Sage advice. And, mate, you'll get it perfected one day. Matthew Elliott, thank you for sharing your number of debuts. It's always good fun to catch up, mate. We'll catch you on the radio soon. I'll see you on Monday, actually.
Yeah, well, have a great evening, gents, and I can't wait to catch up soon.
NRL Friday on ABC Sport.
Rugby League is on your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio,
and ABC Listen.
And to the tune of Glory, Glory to South Sydney, the setter Jack Whiten is downstairs right now with Johnny Gibbs.
Yeah, and he's just having a chat with Stephen Crichton, who's got that AC joint ice, and it was Jack's tackle on Stephen Crichton. A lot of respect there. A lot of respect there, Jack. It was a tackle, Stephen Crichton down. Great win by you boys.
It's a cracker, mate. Just come off a bye. Come up against a very tough team. A packed house. Representing Nathan Merivan, the club, great. You know, that was four tears me while I was running out. The Burrows here, everyone turned up in numbers. It's one of them wins we needed.
Well, you probably dominated the first half till the last 7 or 8 minutes, and then they went to the lead at 18-12. That was a little bit of a shock.
That's right. We've done that the last few weeks. We come out flying, and then we fall asleep, don't go to our game plan, and we get a rocket at half-time, come back to our game plan, and it shows it works. So it's something we're going to have to fix is sticking to it even when we're up, mate.
Now, Stephen Crichton, as I say, great respect between you two. He went down, and that made your job a little bit more easy. You and Matt Burton then had a battle. You made it your mission to stop those key players.
Oh, mate, they're massive strike players. Two of the best centres and 5-8s in the game. And, you know, I said to Big Campbell Graham and Tao, we've got to be a real working edge and change some momentum on our side if we're going to win this game, because if we let them run, it's game over. So I think we've done an all right job, mate, and we've got the win.
You did an excellent job. Finally, in the big picture, early days, but things are looking good for South Sydney. A lot of injuries, lots of circumstances last year. There's a good feel, though, about this year.
Last year's last year. This is now. We won't get too far ahead of us, but we're happy to get the win.
And you're going to go to Perth next week. See you, mate.
Good on you, bud.
Yeah, Jack Whiten speaking with John Gibbs, and we're heading over west too, Louis, for a doubleheader on Saturday tomorrow week with Michael Carrianis. We'll do both games there in Perth. And then on the Sunday, do the pre-game show from our Perth studios. Bailey Haywood, the hard-working Canterbury hooker, with Gibbsy now.
Yeah, hang on. Bailey's going to go over here. He's just having a chat with Stephen Crichton. He just got called away. We were just going to talk to him and having a little prayer meeting here.
Stephen. That's all right. I'll come back to you, Jonty, because we've just had some very informative listeners say the aircraft you saw, Pilatus PC-21, flown by the Roulettes aerobatic team based at East Island, Victoria. They were briefly on the TV broadcast. Thank you, John, who's formerly of the RAAF. Well, thank you for your service.
What did I say? I told you, they're not the fighter jets. They're the ones that do the flips and stuff.
You said they'll just play things. They're better than play things. Another one says was the RAAF roulettes demonstration team as well. But it looked awesome and didn't have the sound of the bigger, the non-play thing fighter jets, but
that's what I was going with.
It was something, and to see them in that formation again, Louis, and doing the turns all together, it's
amazing to watch.
Quite something, it really, really is.
Imagine how much work has to go in that one little mistake.
Just makes you think too of all the servicemen and women around the world at the moment. It's quite outrageous. As this meeting's going on in the middle of the field, the prayer meeting between players of Canterbury and South Sydney, the Rabbitohs beating the Bulldogs, 32 points to 24. At halftime was 18-12 Bulldogs. Here is Bailey Hayward with you, Jonty.
Yeah, obviously disappointing, Bailey. A lead at halftime, you fought your way back into the game, but they were just too good in the second half.
Yeah, they were. I'm pretty lost for words. Just like I said, we had the lead. I don't think it was just detriment to ourselves. We were just hurting ourselves with penalties, and you give a side like that too much ball and too much possession, they're going to score points. So we've got to take our lessons and we'll learn from it.
Well, you pride yourselves on how you compete, and really, yeah, I mean, if you look at it, basically they out-competed you, out-enthused you.
Yeah, look, it's still a bit of a blur at the moment. Obviously, it's all running through pretty quickly, but we'll look back at video and stuff like that, and like I said, we've got to learn our lessons pretty quick.
How was the lead-up to the week? It's a big occasion, Good Friday game, big crowd. You know what it was like last year. This year, again, 50,000, 65,000 last year. It's one of the big matches on the calendar. How was the build-up?
Yeah, good. The fans showed every year, which we're very grateful for, to play on this special day, Good Friday. I'm a big faith believer, so I'm very grateful to be a part of it. But, yeah, the fans showed up like they do every year, and the prep throughout the week was really good. We just, like I said, I think we hurt ourselves in a lot of areas this game.
Not ideal to lose your skipper, Stephen Crichton, 4 minutes into the second half.
Nah, not at all. He's a leader, big influence on our team, but there's times when you lose big leaders and big influences, and we've just got to learn how to recreate that momentum back when there's a little stop or someone goes off like that, which we've got to find a fix to.
Well, you've got to find it quickly because next Thursday night against the Panthers here.
Yeah, definitely. That'll be a good game. Obviously, everyone knows how good Penrith are going, and we know they'll be bringing their A game, but we'll be bringing ours too. So, like I said, we'll look back at review, we'll take our lessons, and we'll prep good for another week. And it's a fresh week starting tomorrow, so we'll be looking forward to it.
Bailey, commiserations. Thanks for joining ABC Sport.
Thank you.
Yeah, there is Bailey Hayward, Canterbury hooker, after the Bulldogs' rather heavy defeat here at Stadium Australia. 8 points in the end, but remember, Canterbury scored the last try of the game. South scored 5-4, as I said late in the call. It seemed more significant than that. David Fifita impressed us all with his work rate. Here he is with John Gibbs.
Yeah, David Fifita, very busy game. David, great win by you boys.
Yeah, great win, you know, 2 points, just 2 points, and just to come away today, you know, Easter weekend, just to get the 2 points means a lot for our group. But yeah, big credit to the boys. They played mad, man, and Bulldogs are a quality side, and yeah, just to stick at it, man, it's good.
And coming here and playing in a big occasion game here. This is one of the big games on the calendar. Yeah, you must have loved it.
Yeah,
50,000. Yeah. You missed 65 last year.
Yeah, well, there you go. But nah, it's good. You know, playing against this crowd. You know, we got. I think it was even split crowd. You know, half-half. But man, the main thing is just to get the dub for our supporters and our coaching staff and for our teammates, mate. So yeah, it was good.
David, down at halftime, 18-12. It was always going to be tough, but you came out and your attack with your defence. Your defence was outstanding.
Yeah, no, it was good. You know, I think the first 30 minutes were really good in the first half, and then that last 10 minutes we got a bit frantic, a bit lazy, and some efforts, including myself. But, just to come out like that in the second half to get the result that we wanted, it means a lot, bro.
David, finally, you seem like you're in a good spot. Your attitude's good. You're looking fit as a fiddle. Yeah. Things are good.
Yeah, no, it's good, man. You know, just being down here with Wayne and the boys, I love the boys and my partner, they're really good, and all their families down here. I'm really close with all of them, but yeah, just to be down here and have the support. It's a team that loves me, you know, that doesn't take me for granted, and I really appreciate the boys. I love them so much, and I love all the coaching staff.
I'll give you a cuddle as well. Well done.
Appreciate it, eh?
John Gibbs there, who is a good cuddler with David Fifita. Right in the middle of the field, but that point Gibbs he made was significant, Louis. He's super fit, super happy, ready to, you know, roll the sleeves up.
Makes a difference when you feel appreciated in a side and you understand your role and you do get along with all the players and everything's going well. Well, you start to put your hand up, you start to do a bit more work. But I think he really just enjoys coming down here with the players that he's got around him as well, knowing that it's not all on David Fifita. You've got Latrell Mitchell, you've got Jai Gray, you've got the Cody Walker, you've got a lot of players out there that, you know, Keon Kalamatangi, these guys, they lay a really good platform. And you know, he can have a bit of a break when he needs to, but he's obviously worked hard in the off-season and he's ready for a big year. So that's a good start for him this year at South Sydney.
All right, now we might get one more from Jonty down there. Around the grounds, New South Wales Cup, Penrith 16, leading the Melbourne Storm 0. Here in New South Wales Cup, South Sydney 30, defeated Canterbury Bankstown 10. And in Jersey Fleet, Bulldogs 30, defeated the Rabbitohs 20. But in the NRL, it was 5-4, South 32 over Canterbury 24. The crowd, 49,813. We'll get Louis' ABC Player of the Year points very shortly as well. I just don't want to get started on that and then have to move on. We'll get to your text shortly as well, 0467 920 222. And repeating in the AFL, Carlton led by 22 points at three-quarter time, and in the end, North Melbourne 96 defeated Carlton 86. Good news for South fans, Keon Kolomatangi is up and about despite having strapping on his right knee. The bad news is Gibbsy is terrorising his little son. Down to you, Jonty.
He's a beauty. Keon, young Keon, hello. Keon, great win, and you must have thought, oh, what's happened here in this big Good Friday clash? I thought you're going to have to come off of the knee to start.
Yeah, I've been struggling with my knee for a fair bit now, so, you know, as long as I don't knock it, I'm fine, but I gave it a knock first run, so it didn't help, but I sort of got better along the game, and I was able to push through, probably be sore tomorrow, but, you know, grateful I'm still allowed to play.
It was a good effort. I mean, you controlled the game. Alex, of course, got that great intercept, which got you to the lead. They fought back. They led by 6 points. No need for panic, but it was always going to be a battle.
Yeah, I think we made a focus on our defence this week. And, you know, if you look on paper, we've got attack around the park and points everywhere. So we just need to focus on our defence and put them under pressure. I think we did that. And, I think, you know, that affected the score.
All of your big-name players went well. In the centres, you had great work by Luttrell and Jack, Cameron Murray. But a couple of the rising stars, Joy Gray, Tallis Duncan, gee, they're improved.
100%. I think last year was sort of their breakout year. And, you know, they're, you know, out in our first graders now, so they're building every week, still young, and the club's in for a, you know, a good future.
I just spoke to David Fifita. His effort area has obviously been maligned, and he basically alluded to the fact that he's needed a cuddle, and he's in a club where Wayne loves him and he's not taken for granted, and it's paying dividends.
Yeah, you know, it's no lie that sort of David went through the last couple of years was a bit tough for him on and off the field, and you know, this club is great. You know, it's a family club, and you know, all the boys sort of got around him and put the best out of him, so I think he's in for a big year.
Well, this is such a big game too. Good Friday, 65,000 last year, 50,000 today. You're going to go over to Perth next week. That'll be a big game in itself. Are you going to be right with that knee, travelling and everything?
Yeah, no, I'll be right. Just ice bath tomorrow and, yeah, I'll be right.
Okay, you'll be able to chase the little fella. He's a beauty, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he's a big boy, so I don't know, might be a halfback or something.
Good on you, mate. See ya.
Thank you.
Keon Kolomatangi with John Gibbs, who will now join us back in the broadcast box. So that's Saturday, the double header at Perth Stadium. And myself, Gibbsy and Louie will be over there for that. 3 o'clock kickoff, South Sydney against Canberra. That's Australian Eastern time. And then the other game is 5:30, Cronulla Sutherland against the Sydney Roosters. So potentially two really, really good games. And Canterbury have to back up here against Penrith. They've lost 4 games in a row here, Louie. This is their home ground.
And they'll play Penrith when?
Next Thursday.
I'll lose that too.
Yeah, that's not a good record. Canterbury, who look like they've got some question marks about them. What we have no question marks about, depending on what you say, the ABC Player of the Year points, Louis.
Yeah, so they're all Bulldogs players, which is quite surprising. No.
They're a question.
No, look, I thought Jai Gray was brilliant. He has to get my 3 today. I love the way that he played. He's just everywhere. He was great under the high ball, set up a couple of nice tries. That beautiful little pass to Tallis Duncan. He was just an everywhere man, and his energy, I don't know how many metres he ran, but his energy on the field was brilliant. I went to Tallis Duncan for 2. I thought he was outstanding on the right-hand side. He's got a beautiful try. The way that he carries the ball, he just sets up quick play the balls, almost went over for a double again just by punching into holes. So I love the way that he played today. So he got my 2. And Keon Kolomatangi, I know he hurt his knee the very first run. He stayed out there, toughed it out, and some of the carries that he had were phenomenal. Again, look, ate up a lot of metres. I don't know how many, but it looked like he ate up 1,000.
So 3 points, Jai Gray, 2 points, Tallis Duncan, 1 point, Keon Kolomatangi. Would you like me to answer some of those questions for you?
Yes, that'd be great. I'd love to know Jai Gray's metres and Kieran Koloamatangi.
South, by the way, end up with 52% of the ball. They completed at 84%. Canterbury, in the end, only 62%, 24 of their 39 sets. Their ball handling fell completely away. Jai Gray ran for 142 metres from 21 carries.
I thought he did more than that.
Yeah, he did not. Who else did you say? Keon Kolomatangi up the centre. Let me have a look. He ran for 189 metres, 19 carries and 25 tackles. Statistically, elsewhere, Talis Duncan, who got points, 144 metres and offload, three line breaks at 26 tackles and a try, 30 tackles for Lockie Galvin, 196 metres for Alex Johnston with an offload, three line breaks and a try, Marcelo Montoya, 146 metres. Connor Tracy, 180 metres with a line break. A couple of costly errors, though. And down the list, Jacob Carraz, who I barely noticed today, Louis, but he still ran for 193 metres with three offloads. 120 metres for Jacob Preston and 34 tackles. And Anari Tuala at right centre for the Bulldogs, 156 metres, one offload. And he made 30 tackles. I thought South did a really good job at targeting some of those Canterbury players to keep them, a bit fatigued in the legs when the ball went on the attacking side.
I just thought South Sydney won off the back of their defence. I thought the way they attacked with their defence, they kicked well, and their kick chase was really, really good. And for me, I always talk about the kick chase in the first three tackles. I think that's the most important part of your defensive sets. And I thought South did that really, really well. They were driving them back every time they got an opportunity to hold the ball-carrying runner up, and they could just get that nice, slow play of the ball, which gave them a lot of energy for the back end of the game. But, I just thought it's probably the best I've seen South play this year, which is a really good sign. And like you said, just hearing from the players, obviously, David Fifita sounds happy. Keon Kolomatangi sounds sore, but ready to rock and roll and put his body on the line. But, I like where they're heading, and I do like what they're about this year, the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
What do you do, Louis, in a situation like Kolomatangi, and you faced this in your last year or two with calves and all that sort of thing, when you've got a knee that won't go away? Is it restricting training? Is that what
it does restrict training, but you get into a routine of like how you, like tonight, I know he said ice baths tomorrow, but he'd be sitting in there tonight, probably spending a good 20 minutes in the ice bath. Then he'd be going home, ice packs, game ready on your knee. Be sitting down. That's where you get on the PlayStation. You sit down, you play a bit of PlayStation, you put your game ready on, you're on there with the boys, whatever you're doing, and having a chat. You rock up tomorrow, you're in rehab, you're getting all the everything done. You will do a little bit of work on the field, but just not as much as what you would be doing if you're fully fit. But obviously the most important part is, that's why it's good to have a pre-season. Because you get a full pre-season under your belt, you're still playing every week. That way you can afford to have a day off or a day away from the field and still be ready to play on the weekend.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.